When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money. But are your bills accurate? Well, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help you. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. So to save, visit HealthLock.com today. That's HealthLock.com today.
I know you're paying attention to global events as well as what's going on in our nation. War and increased conflict is bubbling up in more places. Countries are buying and hoarding massive amounts of gold. Why aren't you? It's time to pull the trigger with the Oxford Gold Group and buy gold and silver. Nobody can predict the future, but we can't put our head in the sand either. Call Oxford Gold Group right now, and you may qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals. Call 833-995-GOLD. That's 833-995-GOLD, 833-995-G-O-L-D.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
All right, second hour, Clay and Buck kicks off. Got a lot to get to, my friends. Thank you so much for being here with us. 800-282-2882 on those phone lines. Just letting you know, next hour, our friend and part of the Clay and Buck Podcast Network, Sean Parnell, combat veteran from Afghanistan, best-selling author. He's a Pittsburgh area guy, too. He's going to talk to us about some of the trends in Pennsylvania, particularly the Pittsburgh area, about how it's looking for 2024. Pennsylvania is absolutely critical as a battleground. I think Trump can win it. I think he will win it, but the GOP's got to approach this the right way. Talking about border and immigration stuff here in just a second, but first off, I got to say this, the doubling down, I don't know what, I guess tripling down, quadrupling down, that I'm going to have to make here as we get closer and closer to the Democrat National Convention on who will be the nominee. Just letting everybody know, I'm not budging off my little island. My island of Biden will be the nominee, assuming he is, you know, alive and continues to be able to do what he does. Biden will be the nominee. Joe Rogan, we all know Joe Rogan, very big podcaster, very successful guy. He is part of the They're Gonna Pull Biden caucus out there. This is what he said, play 10.
I think he's got until May.
No way.
I feel like right around May, they're going to pull him.
No way.
Yeah.
And Newsom comes in.
I think he just has health problems. And then the country understands. And Newsom is going to have his support fully. And Kamala is going to like, I don't want to be president. I'm cool with being vice president.
So Newsom runs with Kamala?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Holy, I don't think they can pull shit. Kamala. I think as long as they keep her quiet.
Okay, I don't know who the other guy is there, but he's an astute political observer, whoever that other voice was on that show. I think he's a comedian, right? He's a smart fellow because, Clay, it's just getting crazier and crazier now. Gavin Newsom? Gavin Newsom is going to be the choice here? I mean, it's one thing to say Michelle Obama, this big plan, and it's all... Gavin Newsom would get annihilated by Trump in the general election. It would be worse than whatever they could have with Joe Biden as the incumbent.
I don't even think it's just that he would get annihilated. I think it's that the idea that Rogan's saying, oh, Kamala doesn't want to be president. Kamala is not going to go be vice president for Joe Biden for 4 years and then be vice president for another guy for 8 years. Like, that's not happening under the sun.
No way.
I mean, look, Kamala is... Did we ever play, did we roll over Kamala talking about the NCAA? We still need to play that. If you guys can make sure, I don't know if we rolled it over, but Kamala trying to give everybody a lecture on the NCAA women's bracket and its history. She's a moron. Okay. She is evidence. Kamala Harris is what happens when DEI runs amok in your organization. A person who otherwise would have no ability to rise
has risen because they like what she looks like. California looks around. They say, we want a half Indian, half black woman to be in a position of power in California, not because she's able to do the job, but because a bunch of rich white people, that's what they would like to think that their worldview creates.
But just think about it. I think you hit on a critical part of this. There's this assumption in all these predictions. And look, I don't know, Joe. Have you ever met Rogan? I haven't met him. I don't think so.
I may have met him at some sporting event at some point in time. But yeah. I don't have a close relationship with him.
Seems like a very good guy. Very, very successful guy, obviously. So I'm just having some fun here. But the notion that Kamala would just be like, yeah, we're just gonna airdrop Gavin Newsom in.
Yeah.
And he just, cause I've heard this from other people too. As much as the Michelle Obama thing is not going to happen, in my opinion, probably not going to happen, that at least to me is you're pulling in like the one
you
person,
have to
the wild card that
a more, but the only way this works, Kamala is next man or next woman up. The only way that she gets bumped out is if you can find a more popular black woman than her. And Michelle Obama is that.
Cause also Kamala Harris could endorse that without demeaning her own brand and her
Correct.
Own future. Again, I still think this isn't going to happen, but I just think it's funny that there's this assumption like, oh yeah, like Gavin, first of all, Gavin Newsom, he got smacked around in that debate that
badly
that Sean hosted with DeSantis. It wasn't even close, but I just think it's so funny. Imagine you're Kamala Harris for a second, that's a whole thought experiment, but imagine you're Kamala Harris. They're like, yeah, we know you're the vice president, but there's this guy in California where you're from, and we just sort of think that, you know, he's a really snappy dresser and he's slick, and so without ever having to win a primary, we're just going to make him the candidate.
Yeah.
It is insane, everybody. Yeah. I'm just saying, there is no chance. If any of your friends wanted to have a steak bet, a barbecue bet, whatever, on this happening, you know, but take it to the bank. Like put them, put all your chips on this one. There's no chance Gavin Newsom gets just selected to take over for Joe Biden. Okay.
It
That's
would
insane.
Be the ultimate, to be fair, in Democrat identity politics, racism and sexism for the black woman who has been, they would argue, a steadfast supporter of the old white guy to get replaced by a younger white guy, even though she's the next woman up for the job.
And I think people also underestimate, yes, Kamala Harris is horrible in a lot of ways as a politician, but they underestimate with the entire media apparatus behind her, they'd probably start to say that when she was a DA, she was, you know, pretty tough on crime and she's pro-police. And whatever would poll well, they would all start saying about Kamala, and they would construct a whole narrative for her. I still think she loses Trump. I'm not saying that. But it's closer. Gavin Newsom? I mean, that's like, this is no chance, Gavin Newsom. And also, how would the black female Democrat voter
that's why
feel
they can't do it.
About
yeah.
Gavin Newsom just gets like handed? Look, we would be saying that's some like bizarre, it's not nepotism, I don't know what you call it, but it's like some bizarre, well, it's kind of racist actually. It's just what it is.
Kind of racist and sexist. I mean, even if you don't buy into all of the racist and sexism arguments of the Democrat Party, it would be tough for them to pull off. And I mean, just looking at it objectively.
We don't throw racism around here. It'd be kind of racist to just be like Gavin Newsom's. But why is Gavin Newsom better than Kamala Harris as a candidate? She's at least been VP. She's been on the Biden ticket. Makes no sense.
And they've both been elected statewide in California multiple
exactly.
times. So it's not as if, again, I think Kamala Harris is a disaster vice president. I would welcome Kamala Harris running instead of Joe Biden because I think it would make the Democrat ticket weaker. And I think that's why they're not elevating her, because all the polling reflects she would do worse. But there's no way to get somebody else in unless you have the Obama. This is why I've made the Michelle Obama argument. The Michelle Obama stamp. Michelle Obama is very popular. Barack Obama is still very popular in this country. She would turn out black women better. And look, this is the argument I've also made. Kamala Harris is not like most black women. She's married to a rich white lawyer in LA. She has no kids. She's half of her own. She is half Indian and half black. She doesn't connect. Michelle Obama connects with black women. I think black women look at her and say, yeah, that's kind of what my life is like. Much of connecting in politics is finding your niche
and then making people think, hey, that's somebody like me. I can support them. I think one of the real challenges for Obama, for Kamala is she doesn't connect like Obama did, either Barack or Michelle.
Well, you know, there are moments, Clay, where Kamala shows us how earnest she can be and how much she can connect. Like in this moment where this is cut 19, she's just explaining that, you know, women didn't even have brackets for the NCAA until this year. Play it.
Do you know, okay, a bit of a history lesson. Do you know that women were not, the women's teams were not allowed to have brackets until 2022? Think about that and what that talk about progress, you know, better late than never, but progress and what that has done. Because of course, when, you know, I had a bracket, it's not broken completely, but I won't talk about my bracket. But you know what, just how we love March Madness and even just now allowing the women to have brackets and what that does to encourage people to talk more about the women's teams, to watch them. Now they're being covered, you know, and this is the reality. People used to say, oh, women's sports, who's interested? Well, if you can't see it, you won't be.
Clay, I didn't know there was a federal bracket ban for women's sports. This is new to me.
This is so dumb that even for my standards of Kamala is dumb. She said that there weren't NCAA tournament brackets for women until 2022. The NCAA Women's Tournament, Buck, started in 1982. But, so they've had it for 40 some odd years. But just answer yourself this question. How did Kamala think they picked the women's teams to play against each other? Every tournament, and on every level, has a bracket. Otherwise, you just are randomly assigning teams to play against each other. How, like, I don't know who briefed her. But if you just had a scintilla of interest in asking the most basic questions, you would say, wait a minute, 2022? They didn't have women's NCAA tournament brackets until we were already in office? Like, it's so dumb.
Well, it also, though, it's a little bit of the, you know, the politician who says that they root for whatever team of the place. Now, if you do that with tongue in cheek, I think it can be fine, right? When you're like, yeah, here I am in Cincinnati and I love the whatever Cincinnati teams are. I don't even know. But, you know, she could have done it in a way that is more earnest. She's like, oh, I'm really excited about NCAA women this year and I'm filling out my first bracket or something. But her reflexive position is find something about like victimization and yes, the patriarchy and oppression. And that's always the go-to. It's always take whatever the issue is and turn it into something like that. And in this case, it just showed you one, that's reflexive for her, and two, how just inauthenticity. I think inauthenticity for politicians is increasingly a difficult thing to sell.
Also, how about if you don't know something really well, don't give a history lesson on it, right? The fact that her innate expectation there is, and also the reporter, of course, doesn't push back at all. But if you talk about
I would not come on this show and start talking about the history of NCAA men's basketball and be like, hey, everybody, let me tell you some really important things about it. Cause I have never watched March Madness until now. So there you go.
Or me, like you were talking about SpaceX and Elon Musk off air with me. I would never come on and say, hey, let me give you a history lesson on rocket propulsion in the world. Because I don't know anything about rocket propulsion, and I'm not going to pretend that I do. So this, and people understand this. I say all the time, I'm not an expert. It's important to acknowledge when you are not incredibly knowledgeable about something. You can't be knowledgeable on everything.
I think that Kamala Harris, and I've met many people like this in my life who, don't know something about anything, and so they think they know everything about anything, you know, they basically have no area of true expertise. So they don't know what that requires. And then they assume that they can become an expert in anything very quickly or pretend to be, you know, that's not a good way to go through life if you can avoid it.
And I love just that reporter there who, I mean, maybe in his defense, you ever have, and some of you are going to say, yes, I hear it every single day on the show. My wife might say that about me. You ever have somebody say something so stupid and so wrong that you're afraid to correct them because it's so wrong? The only thing I can say about that reporter is that he's probably nervous interviewing the vice president. And when she says something that's that wrong, for a minute, like, he doesn't trust his own instincts.
But also Kamala Harris, because of how she has been elevated for,
you know, for certain characteristics, and DEI has been a very prominent role in her political life, and the way that she's presented by the Democrat Party. I think she's gone for a very long time where people know that if you correct her, even on an issue of fact, that is not allowed. That you would be, you know, that this reporter would be, I don't know if it's a man or a woman who's asking, but this reporter, if it's a man,
it's a dude.
Would be
yeah.
It's a dude. Okay. Mansplaining.
You're mansplaining.
You're mansplaining. Don't interrupt her to correct her on an issue of fact or to help, you know, set the record straight. You're not allowed to do that to Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris has been surrounded with people who are scared to correct the dumb things that she says for a very long time.
I think there's a lot of truth to that. And I just thought playing it for all of you, even for Kamala's dumb standards, trying to argue that the women's bracket didn't exist until 2022.
I wouldn't say that's, I mean, to be fair, I don't think it's that she's dumb, Clay. I think she's a phony. It's an issue of phoniness, right? It's not like, it's not an IQ test whether or not you know, but I mean, like, I hope not because I don't know anything about women's NCAA basketball.
But if you consistently sound like an imbecile when you're being interviewed, like she's being briefed. It's not like she didn't know what she was going to be quizzed about. Like I do think that Kamala is probably the dumbest vice president that we have ever had in modern era. Like Dan Quayle got roasted. In modern history.
Well, that was just the Democrat dominance in media creating a false. They also tried to say that Reagan, was dumb. And you can listen to a Reagan speech today or even off the cuff and you're like, this guy was the most brilliant communicator of his generation, but he's dumb. I mean, it's just, they'll say anything.
So Dan Quayle would be the response that most people would have. I think he was unfairly attacked for being dumb, but.
Wasn't that the potato spelling thing too?
Yes.
They said that. Okay, anyone can make a spelling mistake. We don't see spelling mistakes as much these days because everyone writes everything with word processors that have AI built into them.
But the answer might be Joe Biden might be dumber than Kamala, to be fair. I mean, Joe Biden did not have an illustrious record of academic achievement prior.
I think Joe Biden is the dumbest Democrat to have achieved high office. Really high office.
Bill Clinton and Barack Obama are super smart.
Neither of them are even a little bit dumb. That is correct. Yeah.
And Joe Biden is dumb. Is dumb. I think Kamala Harris is dumb. I think. I think this is a uniquely dumb leadership team, unfortunately. But for all of you, March Madness, the brackets miraculously somehow Purdue and UConn are playing tonight. Kamala Harris has no idea how they ended up in the game. They have won their way to the championship game, and I've got a pick for you on Prize Picks. Up to $100 matched. All you have to do is go to prizepicks.com/clay, and I have got what I hope is going to be a 10-to-1 payout winner for all of you watching this game tonight. By the way, take your naps. It doesn't tip off, I don't think, till 9:20 Eastern, which is crazy late for a sporting event if you're on the East Coast. Zach Edey, less than 38.5 points, rebounds, and assists. Donovan Klingon, more than 13.5 points. Those are the two centers, respectively, Purdue and UConn. Braden Smith, he's not been playing well, less than 22 points, rebounds, and assists. And Cam Spencer, more than 23 points, rebounds, and assists. There you have it. If we hit on this one, three of our four hit on the last picks, which was, I think, Friday. You won some money there. We're going to try to hit four to get a 10-to-1 payout. Prizepicks.com/Clay. Buck, are you ready for the NCAA tournament championship?
I need to get in on this one. Carrie was looking at what it would cost to replace our banister over the weekend. Good heavens, man. I need this 10-to-1 payout.
That is the most married man sentence you may have ever said in your life.
Yep. Yeah. Banisters are expensive. I had no idea.
No single man has ever worried about what a banister cost in his entire life. Buck, in order to pay that off, 10-to-1, prizepicks.com, Clay. Use that code, prizepicks.com, Clay. A lot of you are single, like, I don't even know what a banister is. Less for Zach Edey, more for Klingon, less for Braden Smith, more for Cam Spencer. There you have it. Prizepicks.com/Clay.
The Truth Compass, pointing due right every day. The Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show.
The number one fantasy sports app in America is Prize Picks. It's the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. 5 million members already active on Prize Picks. If you've not yet downloaded Prize Picks, do it today. Unlike other apps, on Prize Picks, it's just you against the number. It's about the players and not the teams. You look for the sports you know best and that you follow the most. Then you make a single decision on each player projection more or less every time you play. You pick 2 to 6 players and make that one decision. You can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 picks. More player action on Prize Picks now than ever, and it's the best way to get action on sports in more than 30 states now. Prize Picks also gives you injury insurance so your picks stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. Download the free Prize Picks app and open your account. Use my name, Clay, for a first deposit match up to $100. Download the Prize Picks app. Use promo code Clay, that's C-L-A-Y, to get set up and get a deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Why are people still on the fence about owning gold and silver? I just don't understand.
Have we already forgotten about regional bank closures, inflation, global instability, and the potential for serious world conflicts?
You can look to precious metals for various reasons. One, having tangible currency on hand as part of your bug out plan. Two, diversifying your portfolio as a hedge against inflation. And three, historically, gold increases in value over time.
You keep yourself informed about global events. You see the increase in conflicts around the globe. Countries are buying and hoarding massive amounts of gold. Why aren't you? It's time to pull the trigger with the Oxford Gold Group and buy gold and silver. Nobody can predict the future, but we can't put our head in the sand either.
The people with Oxford Gold Group are real pros. They make owning gold and silver simple and easy to understand. Call Oxford Gold Group right now, and you may qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals.
Call 833-995-GOLD. That's 833-995-GOLD. One more time, 833-995-G-O-L-D.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. On Purpose is dedicated to helping you be happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how he got comfortable with fear, navigating the changes in relationships, and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern. This conversation shows a never-seen-before side to Orlando Bloom and his unique life journey.
I think we all struggle sometimes to really deeply believe that we are enough. That we're valued, that we're valuable. You know, we're imprinted by our parents from the age of 0 to 7, right? Mm. I'm constantly trying to go like, how do I detach from my, this idea of what, is that my baggage? It doesn't look like my baggage. I mean, I know, okay, that's mine. Let's unpack that.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Quick turn here because we got so fired up talking about everything to start off the show. We will be back. Many of you eagerly awaiting the eclipse. We'll continue to touch base with Greg. Also, some great emails. A lot of you evidently have people who have called in sick today for the eclipse. Also, a lot of kids not in school. I don't understand all this craziness. 4 minutes of fun coming up. We will discuss. In the meantime, I want to tell you about Hillsdale. I'll tell you about Hillsdale a little bit later. First Tunnel to Towers. They do amazing work. We're helping to donate money to them through Crockett Coffee. They're helping to ensure that everybody doesn't forget 9/11. And they have a duty, they believe, to continue to protect everyone who does great work, including Buffalo firefighter Jason Arno and his family. Arno was killed while protecting a community battling a warehouse fire, left behind a wife and a young daughter. Tunnel to Towers paid off Arno's wife and daughter mortgage-free home. They can live there now thanks to the work of people like you. You can join Tunnel to Towers, join Buck and myself, helping to take care of so many people out there, fallen first responders, military veterans, people with young kids. Donate $11 a month at t2t.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org. T.2.org.
All right, welcome back in. Wanted to update you here on Clay and Buck with the latest in Gaza. And as we know, this is having already ramifications in the politics, in the polls here at home. I think in a way that is more, could have bigger implications for 2024 right now. My sense is Ukraine has somehow, just like COVID, become, well, mostly Democrats are in favor of just continuing endless support for Ukraine. Some Republicans, you can say whether they're part of the Uniparty or they're neocons or whatever, some of them want to continue, but
the Trump base, I think, pretty clearly wants to bring, and President Trump himself, he's told us during interviews that he wants to bring the conflict in Ukraine to a negotiated settlement as quickly as possible. And he thinks he could end it very quickly, in that, in that regard. So the Gaza situation, though, because of what it means for the American Jewish vote, the American Muslim vote, we know there are pretty big political implications, stakes, on the table. Here's what's going on. The latest here is that, Israel has, stopped its ongoing military, offensive in southern Gaza, for the time being. There's kind of a brief, this is the first time since there was a brief truce with Hamas back in November. So it's not really a ceasefire per se, but they have stopped the military operation and are Netanyahu, Clay, you just told me, right? Netanyahu has, yeah, has already, said that they are looking to set up for the Rafah, final, if you will, component of the offensive in Rafah. And to me, a big part of this reminds me a little bit of, when the American forces were rolling up Al-Qaeda elements in Afghanistan. And this started out with, as we know, CIA and special forces personnel, and they, with the Northern Alliance, were able to have a remarkably effective, response, on the ground in Afghanistan. But, and there's a whole book, about this you can read by Gary Bernson, they basically didn't let them finish them off. When they had bin Laden in what they thought was a pocket in the Tora Bora Mountains, they didn't let them finish him off. And he got away and, as we know, set up in Pakistan. There are elements of Hamas, the terrorist group, that are bottled up now in Rafah. And Israel knows this and has the ability to go in and capture or kill the final contingent, if you will, that they're looking for here with regard to Hamas and the October 7th attacks. I think that that is important. I think that's something that they're going to need to do. But it's also worth noting, I think, Clay, that there's been a shift from the Biden administration toward trying to placate the critics of Israel on this one, as we knew would happen. And I think what Biden is saying is, or rather what Biden is doing, is what was expected all along, which is he's turning on our ally the moment that the politics he thinks at home demand it. And the far left that hates Israel, they've been demanding it for months.
And if you out there are, like me, sometimes in kind of disbelief where the conversations and debates now occur, I saw this over the weekend and I had them pull it, Buck. Here's Bill Clinton from back in 2016 talking about how Hamas is not a fair negotiator and how they hide all of their terrorists inside of hospitals and schools and whatnot. Listen to cut six.
Hamas is really smart. When they decide to rocket Israel, they insinuate themselves in the hospitals, in the schools, in the highly populous areas, and they are smart. So they try, so they try to put the Israelis in a position of either not defending themselves or killing innocents. They're good at it. They're smart. They've been doing this a long time. Look, I don't agree. I killed myself to give the Palestinians a state. I had a deal they turned down that would have given them all of Gaza, all of Gaza, between 96 and 97% of the West Bank, compensating land in Israel.
Okay.
It's all true. It's all true. And they walked away from it. It's the Camp David Accords. I told you my first think tank job was actually for Bill Clinton's chief negotiator, the envoy on this, Dennis Ross, who was the guy sitting down with Arafat and trying to get this whole thing done. And they got, that was the best deal. And everyone knew it at the time. The best deal they were ever realistically going to get through negotiation. And they walked away from it. They didn't want it because they ultimately don't want a deal. They want to destroy Israel. That's the whole problem. Everything else is noise.
That's right. And I just think it's interesting to play Bill Clinton there from 2016. Do you remember how the media claimed to be offended when Trump said that the terrorists were smart? Remember, they were like, oh, why in the world is he praising terrorists? He's like, no, strategically, they're smart. They know how to maximize their leverage to the best of their ability.
Do you remember when we melted the internet, when we were in Mar-a-Lago,
yes,
and Trump said that Putin was very smart? He didn't say Putin is a great guy that you should tell your kids to strive to be like when they grow up. He
Correct.
Just said he's smart, which he clearly is, okay? This guy is running a very large, very serious country, and didn't get there because, you know, his daddy was the king or something. So he knows how to maneuver. I mean, it may be Machiavellian, it may be evil, but he knows how to maneuver.
It also is so, I think, fundamentally dishonest that the American news media, by and large, is holding Israel more responsible for an errant attack that killed innocent people in Hamas than they held the United States for what I think is a far more errant attack. It's just a sign that they're in Afghanistan. It's a sign of how dishonest media coverage is that, I mean, do you agree with me that Israel, American media has criticized Israel more for this errant attack in Hamas than they did the actual United States
right.
for the errant attack in Afghanistan?
Although that would be very different if Donald Trump were the president when
probably
that attack
right
happened,
about that.
Right?
Yes.
So that's,
yes.
I think it's more about the partisan angle than it is even about the nationality involved. But it defies logic, reason, and evidence to think that Israel intentionally blew up that aid convoy. And they have already taken action and, you know, I think they've removed from duty or fired some of the people who were involved. But war is a horrible thing, and war has been forced upon the Israeli people. That's the part of this that there is no, like, Israel doesn't respond to this with force of arms. That's a completely, there were people calling for a ceasefire, Clay, in the days after the October 7th attack.
I know.
I mean, if someone, you know, had broken into a person's home and like massacred their whole family and their last person standing, and, you know, they're able to get to a firearm and they confront that person, you know, after they've killed their whole family, does the guy get to call for a ceasefire in your house then? He says, oh no, we're calling for a ceasefire now. I mean, it's outrageous. It's outrageous. And the fact that there were so many Democrats who went along with this just goes to show you, look, I think there's a moral perversion at the heart of the Democrat Party. I think that the things that bother them about Israel are actually the things that are good about Israel in many respects, that Israel is a rule of law society, that Israel is a country. But, I mean, there's also the component that they completely misunderstand. The American left thinks that Israel is like everyone is Jerry Seinfeld, this white guy, basically. I mean, just mean they look like Jerry, you know, they have this perception. They don't understand the country at all. They don't understand the realities of the region. I don't know. I hope that the Democrats are held politically responsible for this in this country for what they've done and what they've said, but I'm still very skeptical, unfortunately.
I think cautiously optimistic that Jewish voters are paying enough attention that their, 65-35 might turn into 60-40, supporting Democrats, which could be enough to change the outcome of election depending on where those votes are.
I mean, also, I know that people would say this is oversimplified, but, you know, Clay, if you, like, we're in some kind of a boating accident and you washed up on the shore in Tel Aviv, you would be immediately tended to by people who would take you to the nearest hospital and they'd fix you up and they would, you know, put IVs in your arm and you get world-class medical care. And then if you landed on the beach in Gaza, I mean, just theoretically here, this could happen. They'd want to know if you were a spy. You might end up being tortured and executed. That's the difference in these countries, everybody. I mean, we all know this, right? If you're a Hamas fighter and you surrender, you might end up in prison, but you're not going to end up, you know, having your fingers cut off and with electrodes on you and being executed. These are not similar. These are not morally equivalent places.
Which is why the people who are gay marching in support of Palestine is maybe, I know we talked about defund it's the just, police being, and Kamala being, stupid. That, those people are dumb on a level that confounds the brain that you could ever arrive at that perspective.
The activist class, I would say this is true as a general matter. It's particularly true on the issue of Israel-Palestine or the Palestinians and the, you know, Israeli issue. The activists of the Democrat Party are a unbelievably toxic combination of incredibly narcissistic and incredibly ignorant. And you combine those, they are self-obsessed and they are morons. And you combine those two things and you have people who are like, yeah, you know, trans rights in Gaza. In Gaza, they will execute anybody who says that they are trans.
Truly, put them on a plane. Let them have a march in Gaza.
It's, you know, but the American left is, like I said, it's just it's moral perversion. I mean, they don't know which way is up, and it's insane. I'll take some of your calls. We've got some great emails too. We'll get to that. And then remember, next hour, we got some great guests. We got, Sean Parnell, going to talk to us about the fight for Pennsylvania. Critical. I mean, Clay, right? I think if Trump wins Pennsylvania, he wins.
It's over.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it's over. So we'll talk about how that's looking. Big Wall Street Journal piece on it. We'll get to that. You know, we tell the truth here and we share what we learn. And we encourage you to make your own decisions and to check your own assumptions and make sure you're working with the best information possible. And that's what editor and writer Mark Chaykin does. But he does it specifically with respect to the U.S. stock market. You see, Mark worked on Wall Street for 50 years. In his time on the street, he invented three new indices for the NASDAQ and has predicted some of the biggest market shifts of the past decade. That includes the most recent mania in AI stocks. Mark says many Americans are about to miss out on a critical turning point in this AI frenzy. He's calling this a new dawn for U.S. stocks, and Mark predicts dozens of specific companies will be impacted in just the next 90 days. That's why Mark has agreed to share one of his favorite AI stocks to buy now with you. He put everything you need to know in a new presentation you can watch for free on a website set up for you, 2024AIStock.com. That's 2024AIStock.com. One more time, 2024AIStock.com. Paid for by Chaykin Analytics.
24, Clay and Buck's weekly campaign cliff notes. Episodes dropped Sundays at noon Eastern on the free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Why are people still on the fence about owning gold and silver? I just don't understand.
Have we already forgotten about regional bank closures, inflation, global instability, and the potential for serious world conflicts?
You can look to precious metals for various reasons. One, having tangible currency on hand as part of your bug out plan. Two, diversifying your portfolio as a hedge against inflation. And three, historically, gold increases in value over time.
You keep yourself informed about global events. You see the increase in conflicts around the globe. Countries are buying and hoarding massive amounts of gold. Why aren't you? It's time to pull the trigger with the Oxford Gold Group and buy gold and silver. Nobody can predict the future, but we can't put our head in the sand either.
The people with Oxford Gold Group are real pros. They make owning gold and silver simple and easy to understand. Call Oxford Gold Group right now, and you may qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals.
Call 833-995-GOLD. That's 833-995-GOLD. One more time, 833-995-G-O-L-D.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. On Purpose is dedicated to helping you be happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how he got comfortable with fear, navigating the changes in relationships, and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern. This conversation shows a never-seen-before side to Orlando Bloom and his unique life journey.
I think we all struggle sometimes to really deeply believe that we are enough. That we're valued, that we're valuable. You know, we're imprinted by our parents from the age of 0 to 7, right? Mm. I'm constantly trying to go like, how do I detach from this idea of is that my baggage? It doesn't look like my baggage. I mean, I know, okay, that's mine. Let's unpack that.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores. The
stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on,
but we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
We were going to get to producer Greg. We can't get to producer Greg because he is busy chasing an eclipse, which is a remarkable thing because you think you could see the sun from anywhere, but the eclipse looks better in some places. He is an eclipse chaser. This kind of reminds me of in Ghostbusters when Venkman says to Egon, the sponges migrate at about a foot and a half.
Or no, he says that to, not to EGOT, he says it to, Dan Aykroyd's character. I forget what he is.
Ray. Oh, I went to go see the new Ghostbusters, by the way. I went to go see it in IMAX.
Inexcusable not to make an awesome Ghostbusters movie. Inexcusable. They should all be excellent. It's an amazing concept. The first movie is a great, great movie.
Second, my kids even potentially like Ghostbusters 2 better.
They like Viggo in the
Viggo is one of the great characters ever. The pink ooze, which
I'm not
gonna
lie, Viggo kind of scared me when I saw it. I was a kid.
Oh,
it was like,
I remember too.
I didn't want a painting looking at me like that. It was a little scary.
And the pink ooze, I think, is actually early metaphor for social media in general.
Did you ever see a movie when you were a kid that was so scary that you wish you didn't watch it because it freaked you out for days afterwards?
Oh yeah. Nightmare on Elm Street. I saw Nightmare on Elm Street way too young, and it terrified me. And I think every kid at some point sees a movie that's way too young. And they
I was at a camp where we were supposed to see, like, I don't know, it was like Space Jam or something, because it was a rainy day. It was a sleepaway camp, and the counselor wanted to watch Blair Witch Project instead. Oh. And he asked me and a few others, he's like, you guys just want to sneak into Blair Witch Project? Because it was like across the hallway from each other. And then we had to go to a camp in the middle of the woods for the next like 4 weeks. That was a bad move. I was like 12. It's not good.
Oh, I mean, I think I've confessed to this on this show. I watched Paranormal Activity, I think it was, by myself. My family was all out of town and I was like, I'm just going to go see a movie. And, so I went solo to go see Paranormal Activity by myself. I put every light on in the house and propped something against the door.
You went to see Paranormal Activity by yourself?
Yes.
That is a bizarro move right there.
Well, that movie is terrifying. And then the movie about the husband and wife, they're priest, they interview and do all the search. I watched that like flying on a long plane flight, like The Conjuring. I watched like 3 episodes of The Conjuring and I was like, this is one of the scariest movies ever made.
All right, let's get into some VIP emails here and some calls too. We got VIP email from Bill. Clay, you're being called out. Clay, I caught part of your show last week where you could not understand the fascination of people taking off work to see the eclipse. So take this in the spirit for which I'm giving it. On a bar stool with a tall cold one. Any guy who is more fascinated by the British Royals over a once-in-a-generation astronomical event must have, in some point in their life, been playing with Barbies. Well, I was with you till the end with the Barbie thing, but he's calling you out for liking the Royals but not liking the eclipse. What do you say?
The eclipse is 4 minutes long. You can walk outside at your job and see it. Producer Greg is having to drive all over the East Coast because there's cloud cover. It's going to come through Nashville and be like 90%. By the way, there was just an eclipse like 5 years ago. It's not like they're not going to continue. And so I can walk outside and maybe not see anything because it's going to be cloud cover. I think the eclipse, if you don't know an eclipse is coming, huge story. But if you know it's coming for years and it only lasts 4 minutes, I don't get the infatuation.
Well, all I can tell you is you want to make sure that your eyes are sharp and your attention is focused when you're looking for the eclipse, and that's where Crockett Coffee comes in. Davy Crockett himself, would he have been fascinated by the eclipse?
Probably.
Been all about it. He would have recognized the sun, the moon, the stars, and the need to use them for orienteering and you're out in the woods. Davy knew what's up. CrockettCoffee.com, everybody. Whether you love eclipses or not, you will love this coffee. It is absolutely fantastic. We got to keep getting more of you to subscribe. Don't drink some communist swill coffee that you've been, you know, there's big corporations out there. It's nonsense. This stuff is better. And also, we give a portion of the proceeds to Tunnel to Tower. So a good cause and amazing coffee. CrockettCoffee.com. Clay, what else you got for us?
I even saw, like, talking about this, Buck, on Starbucks. They're donating money to allow people to have gender change surgery.
Yep.
Your coffee company might well hate you. We love you. Go to CrockettCoffee.com. We're not paying to chop girls' boobs off. That should be our tagline.
Davy Crockett would not have approved of that. I'm just going to say.
I bet he liked boobs. He would not have been in favor of girls getting their boobs chopped off. That's not where our money's going. CrockettCoffee.com, pro boobs, and also pro caffeine. That's a good combo. You can go check it out, CrockettCoffee.com. We come back. What's going to happen in Pennsylvania, Battleground State, we'll discuss.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.